In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So in an hour from now, we'll be praying the Rosary and Holy Mass, so make sure you wolf down your food right now. I mean, within the next 20 minutes. Okay, so we're on page 2, and it is volume 12, 317, 21. And Jesus says, "So I did with you, Louisa. I, God, assume the attitude of the divine teacher of the divine will." And then one of the reasons why there's capitals is this is all divine. It's not human. "And as if I ignored all the rest of what's happening in the church." Do you see what Jesus is saying? I, God, assume the attitude of the divine teacher of the divine will as if I ignored all the rest. Now, this says to us that as we focus on this gift of the divine will, Jesus will teach us. And if you have questions, you go to a priest and you listen to what he has to say. Because there's a difference between apostles and disciples. The apostles, the first apostles of the divine will are the bishops, the priests, the deacons. The highest, if you want to say, is the Pope. And when the Pope and the divine will, when he proclaims Louisa, the whole world is going to change. And then there's the disciples. That's all the laity who embrace this gift. Now, Father Bucci was telling us about his aunt, Aunt Rosaria. I know I'm saying the name wrong, but Aunt Rosaria, that's how I say it, was the first disciple. And one of the things that's so astonishing is what the Lord asked Father Bucci's aunt by Louisa before Louisa died. And it's very, very important that we begin to understand that each of us has a mission in the divine will. And it's not to worry about your family, your friends, your neighbors, but to begin to live this life. This is what Jesus says, as the attitude of teacher, the divine teacher, I'm going to teach you as you read the writings of Louisa. And that means that you don't speed read, but you, each word is important and that Jesus is going to speak to you. And again, there's a lot to read. But really, in reality, it's everything's being broken down so that you can focus on different aspects of this gift. You have the 36 volumes. And once you get through the 36 volumes, then you can go to the calendar. And as you read the calendar, you can read how each day is important to Jesus Christ. Every day that you wake up, there's something more beautiful, more exciting that Jesus will teach you through Louisa. You have the Echo book. These are all the prayers of Louisa. You have the other books that are out there, and especially the rounds. If you're focused on the Easter rounds, every day what will happen is, it's not to read everything. If you can, basically this book is written for those that are stuck in bed. They can't go anywhere. Well, what am I going to do? Watch TV? What am I going to do? Well, you have the rounds. What I like to do is I like to read until I have to do something. And then I put a marker in the book. And then next week, I finish that day. And if it's not finished, then the following week, I finish that day. But you don't have to rush through it. It's to enter into this gift, to adore God and to love God and to praise God and to thank God and to glorify God and to truly worship God, to be little, insignificant, and hidden, to go to your room, close the door, and pray. And as you are alone with God, you're not. Some people come up to me and they say after their spouse has died, "I'm so lonely." Well, in the divine will, there's no loneliness. You're with Jesus and Mary through Louisa. I mean, there's a family, the family of Nazareth. When you become a third order Benedictine oblate of the divine will, your home becomes the little house of Nazareth. And what was the little house of Nazareth? Well, Joseph was there in the presence of the two who lived in the divine will, Jesus and Mary. The same thing happens. Your spouse, maybe who might not want the divine will, your children may not want the divine will. They're in the presence of a soul who desires to live in the divine will. And everything begins to change. So he says, and again, you have to remember this, I ignored all the rest, as if I ignored all the rest. Now, God doesn't ignore the sanctity of the saints. He doesn't ignore the dogma and doctrine of our faith. But he amplifies it with this gift of the divine will. And after I, God, instructed you well, Louisa, I, God, manifested to you your mission. And that's what he's going to do with us. And how the fulfillment of the fiat voluntas tua on earth shall begin in you, Louisa, and then in your little children linked to you, Louisa. This is his promise. Each of us has a special role, a special mission linked to Louisa. And again, it's not to be known. It's to be little, hidden, insignificant. Living in our nothingness. That's the only way God can work. If we are there, God says, you're in charge. Do what you want. A lot of people leave the divine will because they say, I want to do what I want. And God says, fine. You might become a great saint. But to live in the divine will is to live in your nothingness. It's to live in your fiat, to God's fiat. So what he does is he says, learn in your nothingness how to begin to live this abundant life. Courage. And again, those are the first words of Pope Benedict when he became Pope. He says, you must be courageous in this time. Courage, my daughter. I see that you are losing heart. Do not fear. Do not become anxious. Do not become worried. You shall have all of my divine will as your help and support. That's a promise of Jesus. When you look at a situation and it looks impossible, good. That's where you say to Jesus, I really want to see how you're going to do this one. And he will. He says, do you really trust me? Do you really believe in me? And we say, yes, Lord, in this situation, it is impossible. I want to see how you're going to work. Let it be done as you say. And watch what God does. Volume 12, 3, 23, 21. Listen, I, Jesus, went around all the earth and over again, and I looked at all creatures one by one in order to find the littlest of all. And among many, I found you, Louisa, the littlest of all. This is what Jesus says in Scripture about Louisa. The greatest man born of woman is John the Baptizer. But the least in the kingdom, that's Louisa, is greater than he. Think about that. The least in the kingdom is Louisa. Jesus talks about that. John the Baptist is the greatest man born of woman, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Now, John the Baptist has two feast days, like Jesus, like Mary. Birth and assumption, ascension. Birth and death of John the Baptist. Really, no other saint has that. Louisa is greater than him. We look at her birth and we look at her death as two important dates for us. I, God, liked your littleness, Louisa, and I, God, chose you. I, God, entrusted to you, Louisa, my angels, so that they might keep you, not to make you grow, but to preserve your littleness. And now I, Jesus, want to begin the great work of the fulfillment of my most holy divine will, nor shall you feel greater because of this. On the contrary, my divine will shall make you even smaller, and you shall continue to be the little daughter of your Jesus, the little daughter of my most holy divine will. And it's the same thing for us. You begin to want to be little and want to be nothing. The most important thing is Jesus. The most important thing is Mary. The most important thing to us is through Louisa. We want this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve through Louisa, which means you can't be there. You have to live in your nothingness. Again, that document on nothingness is very important for us. We always think you have to be great, you have to be good, you have to be perfect. Jesus says, hey, I'm great, I'm perfect, I'm good. You want to be like me? Live in your nothingness. And this is what's so beautiful about this gift. It's to be nothing. It's to, everything should be glory to God in the highest. Everything should be, as Pope St. John Paul II said, we have to become an Alleluia people, an Easter people. And Jesus says the true resurrection to Louisa is not after you die. The true resurrection is to live in the divine will now. But you can't live in the divine will if you're something. It's to be little, insignificant, and hidden. Volume 13, 7:20-21. How, when my divine love shall make arise the era of my divine will. Listen to this. The era isn't here yet. The new era of maximum benefit for all souls, past, present, and futures. Then shall the oceans and the rivers of my divine will overflow as if their gigantic waves shall rise up and they shall sweep everything into my divine will, but no longer hiddenly, rather its roaring waves shall make them seen by everyone, and everyone shall be touched by this. Everything's going to change. Everything's going to be glorified. And Jesus is saying to us, would you want to begin this now? Do you see why there's no worry or fear or anxiety? This promise, every page in the divine will is filled with promises. This promise is so true that we're going to see it. But it's like what Jesus says, I am returning for the souls who are waiting for me. I'm going to return for the souls who are anxiously awaiting my return. It's not for the souls that are not awaiting for him. I remember one time I was talking to a group, and this one person said to me, you sound as if Jesus is going to return tomorrow. I said, he is. He wants to. You have to live with this promise. See, the apostles believed this so much. See, this is one of the problems where priests are. In theology, around the year 500, they said to St. Augustine, when is Christ going to return? He promises he's going to return. We've been waiting 500 years. When is he going to return? And 1,500 years ago, St. Augustine said, the parousia will happen, but not now. So that's what the priests are taught. So when you talk to them about visions, apparitions, locutions to prepare the world, I got in trouble years ago with, I was promoting our divine mercy. And the priest says, you believe that? It's not true. It's not going to happen now. And why do they say this? Is because that's what they're taught. It's going to happen, yes, but not now. Jesus says to Louisa, it's going to happen now. Get ready. It's going to happen. So this is the life we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live a life of anxiously awaiting the return of Jesus. He says this right here, very clearly. This new era of maximum benefit for all of mankind is going to happen. It's going to touch everyone. And then he says to us, do you believe this? And when we say, yes, Lord, I believe this, then he says, how come you don't act like that? How come you're not filled with peace, joy, and happiness? I mean, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Everyone has a cross. That's our life. We embrace the cross, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, whatever God is asking. But he says, do you believe me as Lord? Do you believe I'm speaking these words to Louisa? The Vatican believes it. Look at the book that they brought out. And those who shall want to resist the current, this gigantic wave, this shall run the risk of losing their lives. What is that? That's eternal life. See, what's coming is so magnificent that Jesus says, you have to begin to live this now. Don't wait for your prayer group to begin to live this life. Begin to live this life. Begin to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. That's what this gift is about. So he says very clearly, now since my divine will alone has been left to you, Louisa, you are like the water which holds the first place among all goods. And when my divine will shall flow out of its shores, oh, this is great. Your human will dissolved within mine. This is your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin. He says, then, he says, it shall have its primary place in all things, both in heaven and on earth. And then he says, what do you want more? What do you want more than this? So he says in volume 13, 9, 6, 21, now, I, God, want to move forward. I, God, want to make known to the human family what my divine will did in my holy humanity, so as to constitute the new generations as heirs of my most holy divine will, the effects and the values that my most holy divine will contains. See, it's not just to it's to be in God's image and likeness. It's not just to have a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He says this to Louisa. He says, you see the flame of my heart. You see the rays coming out, which we see in the divine mercy. In the divine will, he says, you will see the 360 degrees of rays of light coming out. We haven't seen anything yet. God is hiding this. Because the reason he hides it is he doesn't want to be rejected by everyone. Right now, Catholics don't spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Catholics know in every church Jesus is there. John Paul II, Pope John Paul, St. John Paul II said, I want every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. How many parishes do you know have that? Because they don't want it. Mary is the mother and queen of the children in the church, of all the children, but especially in the church. May devotions are gone. That's why I say, if you have a statue of Our Lady, make sure this month you crown her. Like this Tuesday, which is the birthday of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, pray for his becoming blessed, because they're trying to stop it. Pray for he's a great guy, but it's also the first day, May 8th, when Our Lady appeared to Saint Mildred. I had a great opportunity in 1976 to speak to her, and all I can say is that woman was a saint. I mean, there was something about her that was just so amazing. And again, she went through tortures. Look what they did to her. I said to the people that were there, I said, when are we going to focus on her life as a servant of God? They go, oh, never, never. You can never do that. And I go, why? Oh, she was kicked out of the convent. I said, so what? You know, well, she's got a terrible reputation. I said, for what? Our Lady appeared to her, and we should have some sort of communication with her. And maybe it's us who will say, because what did Our Lady tell Sister Mildred? She said, the children of America will bring purity to the world. Now, if you've seen the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, like I've told you this before, But when I first went down to Mexico, the very first time in the Basilica, I thought somebody spray painted USA on Our Lady, and it was right where her hands are, right below her hands. And I said, "Oh my goodness, the Americans are in serious trouble." I said, "You don't do this to Our Lady's image." So then as I walk closer and closer and closer to the image, and if you've ever been there, it just changes. The colors just, it's like looking at a hummingbird. It's just the change, it's of heaven as you walk up towards it. And then I realized it wasn't spray painted. But Our Lady says, the children of America, this is the children of the divine will, are going to bring purity to the world. The purity is the pure life of Jesus and the pure life of Mary found in Luisa. That's one of the missions that we have, to bring purity to the world. See, like even in Corrado, like when they had the mass, there was what? 100, 200 people there. I remember back in the 80s, there was like 30 people there. Now there's 100, maybe 200 people. Most people don't even know Luisa in Corrado. I remember Archbishop Cassati saying to us in 1994 at the opening of the cause, "You love Luisa more than we do. We don't even know Luisa Picaretta." And that's one of the things you can pray for the new archbishop. He's got a doctorate in mystical theology, which is perfect for this, but he doesn't know Luisa. So our prayer for him is very, very important. Our prayer for the postulator is very, very important, especially the command prayer and the divine will. See, as Jesus says, "I want to make known to the human family what my divine will did in my holy humanity to constitute the new generations," that's us, "as heirs of my holy divine will and the effects and the values that the divine will contains. Therefore, be attentive," that means to read, "in listening to me, Jesus, and do not lose anything of the effects and the value of this divine will of mine, so that you may be the faithful bearers of these divine goods. You, Luisa, you are the first link of the union of my divine will and of communication with all other souls, past, present, and future." You, Luisa, are the one. This is why we always go to Luisa. She's our little mama, our third little mama, and we are in her arms as little nothings. To be little and to be insignificant is very important to Jesus. His mother, Jesus says, was the littlest of all mankind. Luisa was like Mary in her littleness, but not as little as the Blessed Mother. He loves littleness. This is why the devil wants to kill babies. This is why the abortifacts are killing children continuously. Those just conceived, the devil hates little, despises little. And even in our government today, the majority still want to kill the babies. Again, our prayer in the divine will is very powerful. Pray like you've never prayed before. As a matter of fact, Father Bucci was telling us about the mission of Aunt Rosaria. After Luisa died, little babies would come to her and say to her, "You know, pray for me." And these were all the aborted babies. These were all miscarried babies. These were all the babies that were conceived but were never allowed to be born. And Father Bucci says, as Luisa prayed, and you read the last chapter of Volume 36, as Luisa prayed on the very first day of Volume 36, that every born baby become a baptized Catholic, Jesus says, it is accomplished. Because you prayed this, Luisa, in my divine will, which means I prayed it. I wanted it. So it's the same thing with all the other babies. Aunt Rosaria wanted, Jesus was showing her that they also are very, any child that was conceived is very, very, very important to Jesus. And it's our job to pray. So we'll get into that later, but it's something that will really astonish the world, I think. God's got plans. Volume 13, 10, 21, 21. Like a wheel, eternity spins around you, Louisa. She's the center of the divine will. That's what Jesus said to Louisa. I've made you, Louisa, the center of my divine will. Why isn't it Jesus? Why isn't it Mary? Well, it is Jesus and Mary through Louisa. She's the focus to Jesus and Mary. Okay, the new Adam and the new Eve. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn. She's the human born of original sin. So Jesus is saying, I'm centering everything in you, Louisa, so all mankind can get to the Immaculate Heart of Jesus and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The Immaculate Heart of Jesus, Mary, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is what God is doing. Eternity spins around you, Louisa Picaretta, so that you, Louisa Picaretta, may take part in everything, that nothing may escape you. And in this, so that my divine will remain honored and fully glorified in a human, in you, Louisa. Do you see why this third burst of light is going to be even greater than creation and redemption combined? It's a human. That's what God wants for us, to share in his divinity, to participate in the image and likeness of God. This is what Jesus did with Louisa. It's not that Louisa is God, but God is so gratuitous, he's so generous, that he wants humans to be in his image and likeness. Now, through holy baptism, being faithful to the church, we are in God's image. To be in God's likeness is with this book of heaven that God gave to Louisa. So he says this, I, Jesus, I want you, Louisa, the first daughter of my divine will, to lack nothing of the image and likeness of God. Not one distinction that belongs to me, which may make you, Louisa, be distinguished before the whole of heaven, you, Louisa, as the first beginning of divine sanctity of living in my most holy divine will. This isn't the sanctity of the saints. Therefore, be attentive. That means for us to read. Never go out of my holy divine will. That means to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations. That you, Louisa, may receive all the divine fragrances of my divinity. Sorry about that. And so letting all that is yours come out. See, Jesus says, I made the senses for man. He wants to smell divinity from us. He wants us to smell divinity from him. He wants us to smell the I love yous in all of creation. And in the spring, the fragrances that are around, Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a glimpse of how beautiful God is. It's to see God, the I love yous of God all around us. I mean, people say that, oh, it's a beautiful sunset, it's a beautiful sunrise, it's a beautiful ocean. Everything, every grain of sand, every blade of grass, every drop of water is an I love you from God. And he wants us to see him and to smell him and to taste him and to touch him, to hear him in everything that's around us. So that letting all that is yours come out, I, God, may confirm all that is mine. See, to be little, to be nothing, all of that's gone. It's just to be in our nothingness. That I may confirm everything that is mine, that my divine will remain in you, Louisa, as center of divine life. This is human. Again, we love the saints. They're beautiful, they're good, they're holy, they're saintly. They're not like Louisa. And you see how when Louisa is proclaimed by the Holy Father, how the whole world is going to change? Every priest, every bishop, every deacon is going to proclaim divine life. Then you're not going to hear another homily about a vacation. You're going to hear about divine life. And it's going to change the face of the earth. Volume 14, 4:13-22. Now, in creating Adam, the first man, we, triune God, formed him with our hands, and breathing over him, we, triune God, gave him divine life. And once we, triune God, made the first, all the others take origin from the first, and they are copies of the first. Our divine power, flowing through all generations, reproduces Adam's copies. Now, since we, triune God, have constituted you, Louisa, the firstborn daughter of our divine will, it is necessary, divinely necessary, that you, Louisa, live with us, triune God, in order to form the first copy of the soul who lives in our divine will. Mary possessed it. She's the mother of God, Theotokos, the first human born of original sin, the first soul who lives in our divine will, so that as you, Louisa, live in us, triune God, you, Louisa, may receive our divine attitude and may learn with our divine power to operate according to our divine way. That's the command prayer. Do you see the mission that God has given us? Like I said, do you think what happened in North Korea just happened by chance? Do you think what's happening in the United States is happening by chance? The president, 2 days ago, consecrated the United States to Jesus Christ. Do you think that happened by chance? Do you think the miracle of Hillary not winning happened by chance? You have to begin to understand the power of the command prayer. This is our mission. To begin to pray with such confidence, with such hope, with such certitude, that everything we pray for happens. Why? That you may learn with divine power how to operate according to divine ways. That's what Peter did when he walked on the water. He said to Jesus, he said very clearly, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. Take my prayer and make it your command. Jesus said, come. He did a divine thing in a divine way that only a God can do. That was to prove to us God's got great plans. We're not even close to what God has got planned for us. We have to understand our mission. It's not to plead with God as the saints have taught us. Please, 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 please. No. It's, Lord Jesus, this is my prayer. Make your command. Fiat. I trust you. This is what you taught Louisa. I am confident. You have to understand, the miracles that are going to come through Louisa are going to astonish the world. And it's all, we already see it. With the election, with North Korea, but Jesus is saying, you've got to pray now. I'm beginning. If you don't continue, I have to let it go. I can show you for a short time if that's what you want. If you want it to be continuous, see, I really believe that the prayer of Nineveh Job prayed is not for one time. I thought, not Job. Who's the one that prayed it? Who? Jonah. I got it close. Jonah. And again, what happened? I think it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And it was very amazing. The tomb of Jonah that's been in Iraq for 3,000 years, was obliterated. Jesus says, the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. And it's gone. What does that mean? God is expecting more from us. And if we think Jonah could do this for Nineveh, how much more is God expecting us to do? We have to understand our mission. And not to get discouraged, but to be focused on this, on what God wants. To form the first copy in the soul who lives in our divine will. To have God's divine attitude. To learn God's divine power. To operate according to God's divine way. Once we have made of you, Louisa, the first copy of the soul who lives in our divine will, more copies shall come. If we don't have the spiritual DNA of Louisa, nothing's going to work. Jesus wants to see his life in us through Louisa. Jesus wants to see Mary's life in us through Louisa. She is the perfect copy of Jesus and Mary. Our love for Jesus and Mary grows so much when we fall in love with Louisa. The road of our divine will is extremely long. It embraces eternity. See, that's what's coming. Now, think about this. What did Our Lady of Revelation say to Bruno 40 days after Louisa died? My children are going to enter into eternity. They're going to begin to live the way I want them to live, the way Jesus wants them to live. That was 71 years ago. It's not the end of the world. She says, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of Lucifer in his kingdom. The road of our divine will is extremely long. It embraces eternity. And it seems that one has navigated the way, much remains to do. That's for us. To receive from us, Triune God, in order to learn our divine ways, to form the first copy of the soul who lives in our divine will. This is the greatest work the Triune God must do. See, this is why this third burst of light is the greatest work that God is doing, bringing mankind to where God wants him to be in his image and likeness through the firstborn, Louisa Picaretta. Therefore, we, Triune God, must give you, Louisa, much, and it is appropriate to dispose you, Louisa, much, so that you, Louisa, may receive much. This is the reason for my repeated questions. It is to dispose you, Louisa, to enlarge you, Louisa, to elevate you, Louisa, in order to accomplish my designs. So I care so much about it that it would leave everything aside to reach my purpose. Okay, think of all the courses that are taught. Jesus says, I'm going to leave all this aside. The course that I want to teach you is to live in the divine will. Can you imagine if universities were focused on the Book of Heaven? Can you imagine if every homily was focused on the Book of Heaven? The joy, the happiness that would occur in families would be unbelievable. Therefore, be attentive and faithful, Jesus is saying about these writings. Oh, how I, Jesus, rejoiced in seeing you, Louisa, as the first one. You, Louisa, whom I, God, called in a special way to form your life in my most holy divine will. I made in you, Louisa, the first deposit of all my sacramental lives. I entrusted to you, Louisa, to the power, divine immensity of the supreme will of God, that everyone may render you capable, that they, this is the sacramental lives, the power, the immensity, that they may render you capable of receiving this divine deposit. From that time, you were present to me. I, God, constituted you, Louisa, as the depository of my sacramental life. And in you, Louisa, all other souls would live in my divine will. I gave you, Louisa, primacy over everyone with reason, because my divine will is subject to no one, even over the apostles and priests. In fact, if they constituted me, however, they do not remain as life together with me. Okay. So the priests and the apostles were consecrated to Jesus, but they did not remain as life, living in the divine will together with me. On the contrary, they leave me alone and forgot, not caring about me. While these souls, the priests, the apostles, should be life with my own life, inseparable from me. This is why I love you, Louisa, so much. It is my own divine will. It is in my only divine will that I love in you, Louisa. Can you see what God's doing? It's a new beginning. And let's think about it. Out of all the people that are in the surrounding regions, I think we got people from Boston and from New Jersey and from Texas. All the people, there's such few that are here. That's God's plan. He doesn't need a lot of people. This is not a devotional life that you could say, hey, read this and you're in. No, it's to read it and to begin to live the life of Louisa. And that doesn't mean you have to be in bed. It means to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations. So he says, volume 14, 7, 10, 22. Now it is necessary, divinely necessary, that you, Louisa, rise. You, Louisa, carry with you, within you, my divine life, my divine will, so that my divine will on earth and that of heaven may fuse together, and that you, Louisa, may live for some time in the womb of the divinity. You're going to go to heaven for a short time, where your will, your human will, shall be acting in mine in order to expand as much as a creature can possibly be capable of. And then you, Louisa, will descend again upon earth. This is the third light that's coming. The blinding light. What's going to make every Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Protestant, Jew, Catholic to become a true Catholic? They're going to see this universal life, where your volition shall be acting in mine in order to expand as much as possible a creature can be capable of, and then you, Louisa, shall descend again upon earth, bringing divine power and the divine prodigies of my divine will in such a way that creatures will be shaken. He says that to Louisa a number of times. That they will open their eyes, and many shall know what it means to live in my divine will, to live in the divine likeness of their Creator. This shall be the beginning. So when's this going to begin? When we see Louisa. This shall be the beginning of the coming of my kingdom upon earth and of the final fulfillment of my divine will. If you got them, smoke them. And this is really unbelievable. What I meant by that is, you know, if you have a cigar, take it out. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. A human. We know Jesus went to heaven. We know Mary went to heaven. But Jesus is saying Louisa went there. And she's going to return. Once you get into this light of the divine will, it's Jesus is saying to us, I'm going to show you things that are going to astonish you. I remember when Jesus said to Louisa, can I eat in your eating? She was eating. She says, sure, but don't let anybody know about it. So he put his mouth in her mouth to eat. And when she opened her mouth, this trumpet sound came out. Wow. And it shook the whole house. Everybody was running in fear. And Louisa says to Jesus, I thought you weren't going to let anybody know about this. And Jesus says, when you blow the trumpet, when the sound comes out of you, you will shake the whole world. Think about what does he say here? He says very clearly, souls will be shaken. See, God has got great plans. And it's nothing compared. We have no idea. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. But he gives us a little opening here. Volume 15, 4, 14, 23. In this seed that he planted in Louisa, in this hope that my divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the very saints have formed their sanctity. The martyrs have shed their blood. There is no good which does not derive from this seed. So the whole church prays, and just as the tears, the penitence, and the prayers to obtain the Messiah were directed toward the excelling Virgin Mary, whom I, Jesus, was to dispose in order to centralize such a great good in the Blessed Mother, so there might receive their Savior, even though they did not know whom she would be. In the same way, now that the Church, when the Church recites the Our Father, it is precisely for you, Louisa, that the Church prays, that I, God, may centralize in you, Louisa, all the goods that my divine will contains, the way and the how. This is why we read the volumes. The divine will may have life on earth as it is in heaven. And even though you, Louisa, are not known, by echoing my prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the Church prays to me, presses me to centralize all this good in a second virgin, so that like a second Savior, Louisa may save humanity, unsafe humanity. And in making use of my inseparable love and mercy, I, God, may answer my own prayer, united to that of the whole Church, making man come back to his origin, to the purpose for which I, God, created him, that my divine will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is precisely the living in my divine will, and everything I, God, keep manifesting to you, Louisa, pushes you to this, confirms you in this. This is the great foundation I keep forming in your soul. And in order to do this, I, God, keep centralizing in you, Louisa, all the graces, past, present, and future, which I, God, have given to all human generations. And even more, I, God, double them. I, God, multiply them, because since my divine will is the greatest, is the holiest, is the most noble thing that has no beginning and no end, in order to place in it one creature, it is right and decorous that I centralize in Louisa all possible goods, innumerable graces, divine purity. See, this is the purity that the children of America will give to the world. Divine nobility, to be clothed in divinity again. Adam was naked. He lost the clothing of divinity. So that this divine will of mine may have the same cortege as it does in heaven. It is the same divine will that operated in redemption and wanted to make use of the Virgin Mary. What portents, what prodigies of graces did I not work in the Blessed Mother? My divine will is great. It contains all goods. And in operating, it acts with magnanimity. And if it is about doing works and doing good for all of humanity, then it puts all the other goods at stake. Now, it wants to make use of another virgin in order to centralize its divine will in her and to begin to make known that its divine will must be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if it is redemption it wanted, to come to save lost mankind, to satisfy for his sins, which man has no power to do, and to give him refuge and many other goods which redemption contains, now wanting to display even more love than in redemption itself by making my divine will done on earth as it is in heaven. My divine will comes to give back to mankind his state of origin, his divine nobility, the purpose for which God created him. It comes to open the currents between itself and the human will in such a way that absorbed by this divine will, being dominated by the divine will, the human will shall give divine will shall give it the human will shall give the divine will the life within itself, divine life within itself, and my divine will shall reign on earth as it does in heaven. That's what God has given to Louisa. That's what God wants to give to us. So we'll have the rosary in about 10 minutes, and then we'll have Holy Mass. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.